word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This evening to 1 Thessalonians 5, where we'll pick up and announce in verse 6, around page 12, right, please. All right, if we want him to take the good side of these verses and not being asleep spiritually, it demands first and foremost that we're under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. When we engage in personal sin in the life, we are out of fellowship. How we restore fellowship is through the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9, and we are thus in a state of spirituality, and we are primed and prone to accept the truth of Bible doctrine, be enlightened in this regard, so that we can be wide awake and alert in regards to our own Christian life as to all that about us as is presented with respect to God's plan in representation and in explanation. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the light of your word, illuminating the positive souls of time, and we ask once again this evening that God, the Holy Spirit, will enlighten us in this respect. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here, verse 5, with verse 5, having acknowledged these believers' positive volition, and thus being oriented to the plan of God, prophetically as well as spiritually, in contrast to negative volition, Paul now essentially exhorts him just to stay that way. That's verse 6, the emphasis behind it. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. And as we brought out last class, the negative command to not sleep, in contrast to those who otherwise do, obviously demands that we are not in association with respect to what they represent, both in persons as well as their thoughts and pursuits of life. And that demands the application of doctrine of separation. Separation is key to being positive, to being adjusted, and staying that way, as well as it further defines it, making it distinct from negative volition. And point 12 here, we'll just pick up there, page 14 of our notes. Now, it's important here to study your vocabulary words as they're used in regards to this epistle. The first adjunctive verb here, let us not sleep, make kathudo, is not the same verb that we saw used for the sleep of death in 4:13, which was koimaomai. So 13, this change of terms here denotes that Paul is now obviously speaking in spiritual terms, not physical. 14, only Paul uses this term in the epistles five times, and it's only other use outside of Thessalonians, so four times they're using our epistle. It's clearly spiritual, as Ephesians 5:14 uses it in the exhortation to awake sleeper. Same term. Those who are spiritually asleep to get their spiritual act together. 15, now our verb will remain his choice of terms following in verses 7 and 10. To further illustrate spiritual realities. 16, those that are sons of light and day are not to fall into the state of spiritual sleep, characteristic of those that are sons of night and darkness. The fact that we have a command not to do something obviously reveals the fact that there is potential to do it. And Bible doctrine is designed to continue to keep in front of us in an exhortative fashion, a call alongside in regards to staying positive. And that comes through continued orientation and to the teaching of the truth of Bible doctrine, one's Christian life, and dealing with their sin natures otherwise. So 17, now Paul contrasts the positive volition of these saints to negative volition otherwise with the comparative phrase, as others do, which is holoipos, the others. So 18, the the comparative conjunction host does not demand an exact likeness, recognizing a variety of conditions constituting sleep for these others, believers, unbelievers, and believers alike. That may include A, those that completely divorce themselves from Scripture, both phase 1 and phase 2, hence unbelievers, and then maladjusted believers. B, those that while believing in the parousia, they believe in the rapture, they deny us or the ability to identify the final generation, to delude, to take down the prophecies necessary for us to be oriented in that regards, to dilute the prophecies, the word I'm looking for, to dilute the prophecy of the fig tree as brought out in Matthew in this regards, providing us with the key time of when this event will come to pass and be imminent in that respect. C, those that at some level recognize the times, yet they fail to assimilate doctrine so as to gain full S3 at the Bema. They may have insight that we are in that generation, but yet they disregard doctrine otherwise. And hence, they do not exploit their knowledge of what they do know with the spiritual realities of living the Christian life, and therefore they will fail miserably at the Bema seat, and they will be robbed of their potential additional inheritance. So D, then you have those that obviously adopt an erroneous prophetic grid. They fall for false doctrines, such as the all-millennialists. Spit it out. The ones that don't believe the millennium is physical, literal, is spiritual. No, it is physical. It is real. It is a real millennium of history, as real as the millenniums that existed before us and as they exist today. So 19, now in all cases, the above represent negative volition to the truth at some level. A level, obviously, deep enough that it's going to cost them big time. 20, succinctly stated, any believer not adjusted to the times in which we live, via sound prophetic teaching, and otherwise not advancing in the local church is spiritually asleep. Again, a good example of that is those who continue to hold to the law as part of the function of the church today, like keeping the Sabbath or tithing. We're not commanded to do those things in the New Testament. Yet churches are renowned for promoting this false ideology as it comes upon believers today. And it is not true. We are not to fetter ourselves with that type of legalism. And that's all that it promotes. And hence, they are out of touch in regards to the proper representation and administration of God's plan as being a member of the church, and what that means across the board. So 21, in regards to these, the day of the Lord will be as a thief to him or her, to those who choose to be negative over positive volition, who choose to remain uninformed and spiritually maladjusted. 22, these let themselves be, quote, robbed, end quote, of eternal blessing because they were negative. And either face shame at the Bema as believers or eternal condemnation, eternal death as unbelievers. So 23, where we left off, now as warning, as we saw when we did Revelation, there is a very serious penalty attached to anyone adding to or subtracting from prophetic information. That which winds up the last book written in and included in the New Testament canon is one of warning as it reflects upon the prophecy, this long prophecy that has been recorded for us. Revelation 22:18. John states, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. And obviously, that comes at two levels, whether one does it as an unbeliever or whether one does it as a believer. But either way, you want to jack with the Word of God start being cute with it and manipulating it to say what you want it to say rather than what it does say. And add to it your own little ideas, or as I stated, dilute it in terms in regards to its full interpretation and the design impact it's supposed to have in orientation for us, such as the doctrine of the fig tree, then you face the retribution side of God in that respect. So, obviously, it's a principle true in regards to Scripture across the board. And that's where you get the concept of legalism. People add to the Word of God that which is not there, and making these things incumbent upon believers or others, or take away from it, saying you don't have to do these things. You don't have to attend a local church to grow up spiritually, and adjust a local church, obviously, is sin. You know, things of that nature. You don't have to plug in and identify with your right pastor. You can listen to anybody. It doesn't make any difference. You can be an island to yourself. All these other things. All the distortions that are out there. And all these are doing. All these things are doing is robbing people in regards to eternal blessing. And that they face divine discipline, if not the worst case scenario, God's wrath of eternal condemnation. So 22:18-19, beginning the book, we saw verse 3, blessed is he who reads, those who hear the words of the prophecy. That means to gap it, to hear and assimilate it in fellowship, and heed the things that are written in it, for the time is near. It is the next block of human history in regards to the church age being fulfilled in the first chapters up through 3, and then Daniel's 70th week on into the eternal state. So 24, now in stark contrast to negative volition, who are asleep in regards to doctrine. Positive volition is exhorted, but let us be alert and sober. These are not things that negative volition are. Alert and sober. So positive volition is exhorted to be that way, stay that way. 25, the verb alert here, which is Greg Goretlo, demands that each believer know what he is to be looking for in terms of the specifics surrounding the rapture. Again, the orientation to one's time. Like the church at Smyrna, if you live during that era, and being oriented in the fact that the church at this time is going to come into great persecution. See? And therefore, you're not caught off guard. You're not caught off balance. Then you move into the other eras, and you see the other distortions that come in, such as Roman Catholicism and things of this nature. And then your Reformation, and recognizing at this time, well, the church is finally pulling itself away from being totally drugged down by Catholicism and returning back to its roots, but yet it's still, you know, isn't there yet. Philadelphia era, you lived in that era, you probably didn't even recognize it. That era is not one that is going to be recognized by people around the world around and be recorded in regards to books, etc. Just the pastor don't go out and write all these books and put them on the market and make their money, see. It's there today, we can make it available, you know, they might do it to health and others, etc. But things of that nature. we live in the Laodicean period. So we know one of the greatest hazards regards this period is falling into this lukewarm syndrome that the churches today are in. And to stay separate from that, to keep our own nose clean, and not allow any of their vices and their distortions of Scripture, traditions of men, enter into our own method of operation. To stay the course. See. To keep and tote the line, the narrow way of phase two doctrine, keeping God's directed will before us at all times and not adding to it or taking away from it. If it sponsors it, it commands it, then we do it. If it doesn't, we stay away from it. And to recognize that we've got prophetic major prophetic players that are now in full-blown effect as prophesied to bring in the close of the church age and Daniel's final 70th week and all that's going to go on with that, the new world order, the great merchants, you know, not being taken aback by Wall Street and the feds and all this other stuff. They had their claws into it. They're prophesied, people of this ilk. You know, the STAs run rampant in this period of time. Evil is essentially parallel to the way it was in the time of Noah. You know, all these things, we're oriented. And hence we can walk the tightrope of phase two doctrine and not be thrown off balance. Unless we get on our own STA and go that way or fall for some false teaching or other human viewpoint enticements. Otherwise, we've got Bible doctrine to protect us. God set up the system. He set up the local church in this fashion. And it's all for our protection. My very approach to study and my study habits and the way I study, etc., is for our protection. It's for my protection. Well, I look at every word and try to put it in its proper place, etc. It's not to make notes any longer or to show off or anything like that. It's just a matter of keeping myself straight in regards to my own studies. So that being the one responsible, you know, God's not going to cut my head off because I fail in my office. And it's all for our protection. And we have doctrine to rule us and guide us along those lines with the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. But you got to stay in fellowship. You got to deal with your SCA. You got to employ the doctrine in order for to take advantage of that protection. Otherwise, your defense is down. So, to be oriented, to continue to look for further developments in regards to the world scene and prophetic fulfillments. The day that you hear Israel saying, well, we've laid the foundation stone, we're going to rebuild our temple. If that occurs in our time, that's the day we can have a party. And I'll throw it. And I'll use church funds to do it with. That's a thing to celebrate. Because that means, wow, we are really close. See? When they start moving that direction, then you see it. So to be alert, to be prophetically alert, and hence remain balanced, utilizing the application of doctrine otherwise, within the proper frame of reference and witness to others around you. So 26, this includes orientation to eschatology, the coming things, eschatology, history, and God's disposition of judgment that negative volition can expect a repudiation of this plan. If we don't orient to it, then we can expect adverse results. Again, the level depending on whether one's an unbeliever or whether one's a believer. So 27, each generation of the church age is to stay on the alert during the course of history personified by night. Night is that which will govern the world. Believers are called out to stay alert. And what time you live in, and make sure you keep God's plan in front of your eyes in orientation to these things, and to remain oriented. Obviously, as we brought out the Thessalonians, we'd recognize, well, Israel's still in the land, so they have to be dispersed first before this is going to happen. So that would be a thing that they might look forward to, look towards. And then when it happened, ball's rolling now. So, and whether they, you know, obviously, a few hundred years gone by, feasibly, one might look and say it could happen. But either way, to be oriented. So the verb alert here, point 28, our verb alert, Greg Gorel, implies a strong stand for the faith, a strong and accurate prayer life, and always ready for the cosmic attacks of Satan's world. If you're going to be alert, you must employ these virtues and these characteristics in your life. Strong stand for the faith, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith. Stay the course. Don't let people shake you in regards to your confidence in doctrine. Act like men, be strong. Have courage, see. That's the call. Have courage. Doctrine will be fulfilled. God will bring all doctrine to a complete fulfillment. And don't let other people shake you. Don't let people intimidate you. They want to try to pour something down your ear canal, and it's against what you've heard in Bible class and seen and been taught that regard. Don't let it intimidate you. Stand firm in the faith. You've been in class. You've been in fellowship. You've gapped it. You've heard the doctrine. And if they're going to take issue with it, they better have a damn good alternative for it and be able to document it. See, and show you the scripture where it's wrong. So take courage, be courageous. Standing for the truth in the midst of being surrounded by negative, maladjusted types in this world. You got to have a strong prayer life. Simple laying you down to sleep prayer at the end of the night is not going to hack it. Pray over your food, and that's it. That's not going to hack it. You need to establish a prayer life along the protocols of prayer based on that which is legitimate that you are to pray for. Colossians 4:2, as it associates being alert with prayer, devote yourselves to prayer. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And you ought to be hard-pressed not to get your prayers in on a daily basis. To me, it almost ruins my day if I can. If something happens and you get distracted, things of that nature. That's why it's always good to try to set yourself up a regiment where you can find some alone time somewhere. And then, obviously, maintain an attitude of prayer throughout the day. That means simply being in fellowship, staying in fellowship and thinking doctrine. And asking God to bless you in regards to the things that you do. So you got to devote yourselves to prayer if you want to be alert. Prayer constantly brings out the issues around you as you see them in the light of doctrine. See, that's part of prayer. What you know about your own life and what you know about others and situations and circumstances around us. and things of this nature, constantly appealing to the Father, having rapport with Him, fellowship in a verbal way, see, through your mental attitude. And then you've got to always be in a ready posture, recognizing that if you're going to live in enemy's territory, then look out for the roadside bombs, because they will be there, see, to draw off present-day warfare type of tactics. 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Why? Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I guarantee it, Satan's constantly on alert. He'll look for any avenue. You start letting your guard down, I guarantee it, he's going to be aware of it. His entourage of demon spies, etc., will be reporting back to him. Well, look what this figure's doing. This is what they're falling for, or whatever. And he'll help you set it up through other negative volition in regards to ensuring that you fall as far as you can. So again, the importance of prayer comes to mind, and to be courageous in spite of it. People respond to you in a hostile way because you're Stanford doctor, so be it. If that's the worst thing that happens to you in life, consider your life blessed. You know, words are words. But it's amazing, you know, how any of us can get wrapped around the axle because of a few words said in the wrong way. Especially if it's perceived to be, you know, a direct attack. God will cause those to stand that are positive and seeking to do His will. So to be on alert is to be at the ever ready in regards to your prayer life and willingness to apply doctrine in the face of adversity. 29, now the verb sober, napho in the Greek, literally means the opposite of getting drunk. 30 of his six times or six uses. But in six uses in the New Testament, it always looks to spiritual sobriety. First, that's the emphasis. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Since we are today, let us be sober. Have you put on the breastplate of faith and love, as we will see. 2 Timothy 4, 5. But you be sober in all things. Timothy is a pastor. Endure undeserved suffering, that's your hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Bring to completion your ministry. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit, as the New American Standard correctly grasps the nuance. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 4:7, 1 Peter. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Again, prayer brought into the mix of things. So it's important on both sides of the coin. Being spiritually alert as well as maintaining spiritual sobriety. And then 5:8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Same type of exhortation as we have from Paul. So 31 here, to be spiritually drunk would mean to have a lack of self-control. leading to undue elation. That'd be your woof choirs. The rapture is going to happen to the date setters, you know, people of this nature. Or on the other end of the coin, being unconscious. That's your can't know crowd. Completely oblivious to the other time in which they do live. That's your two extremes usually. And getting someone being drunk. First of all, they lack self-control. While they have certain laws in place in regards to driving while you're drinking. Even though there, I think it would be a better way to do it, but they won't shoot those people. So, you know, we have what we have. Undue elation, you drink, you feel elated and happy, etc. And then you drink until you can't stay awake any longer. You pass out to the unconscious. So 32, you learn these things when you observe people around you. 32, either way, the drunk person has lost control of his faculties and is out of touch with reality. He's lost control of his faculties and is out of touch with reality. These types spiritually are out of touch with the reality of God's plans and what he expects of us. 33, we are to avoid any kind of excess. Drinking to drunkenness is excessive drinking. It's all right to drink and copy a buzz and feel some elation. Calm down. But to drink in excess, obviously, stepping over the line, you go overboard. And we are to avoid any kind of excess that would stifle sensitivity to God's revealed purposes. Pursuit of the cosmos, pursuit of our SCA to distract us in regards to the issues in Christian life, beginning with our NPR, and then maintaining our prayer life and being fastidious and rebound, applying doctrine, and thus, continuing point 33, place positive volition in danger of going negative. Grab a hold of these things, and they can take you down the tubes pretty quick if you let them. And they're all a danger in that respect to start making bad choices in life rather than our divine good choices. All right, moving on here now in verses 7 through 8. I've titled these verses, How to Stay Oriented, or How to Stay Positive, if you will, in a dark world. Again, we live in the cosmos. We live in a world ruled by Satan. In mass. A world void of human divine viewpoint. Verse 7, for those who sleep do their sleeping at night. Now we see Paul take these terms that are used metaphorically and put them in this literal place to further emphasize spiritual principles. 4 is explanatory conjunction gar, G-A-R. Those who sleep is participle, present active participle, here substantival with a definite article, ho, kathudo, the same verb used in verse 6, K-A-T-H, E-U-D-O. The one sleeping. Do their sleeping is followed in with the same verb here as a present active indicative, are sleeping. The one sleeping, are sleeping at night, literally in the Greek. Night is your noun, genitive case, feminine singular, nux, N-U-X. Saw that in verses 2 and 5 of our chapter. And those who get drunk at night. Connected chi, those who get drunk, the ones being drunk literally, definite article again, substantival participle here, present passive, getting drunk, the alcohol is what makes them drunk. Ho, methusko, M-E-T-H-U-S-K-O, methusko, the ones being drunk, used 5 times, are drunk. Again, the verb is then repeated here in the same family, but a different form, methuo, M-E-T-H-U-O. Are drunk or get drunk at night, nukes, repeated. Verse 8, now in contrast to that, but since we are of literally day, let us be sober. Conjunction death, we, pronoun ego, emphatic. We ourselves are. You have the circumstantial participle, present active here of our to be verb, imi, E-I-M-I. Strong force regards to keep on being. Participle denotes continuous action on top of that. It's causal here. Cause, since we are of day, our noun for day, hemera, H-E-M-E-R-A. Let us be sober. Present active subjunctive of our verb now, again, for sobriety, to be sober, opposite of being drunk, napho, N-E-P-H-O, same verb back in verse 6. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Having put on, another participle here, circumstantial, aorist middle, something we must do ourselves. Literally, having clothed ourselves, our verb enduo, E-N-D-U-O. Having put on, having clothed ourselves, used 27 times in the New Testament. First, with the breastplate, or chest armor, is our noun, thorax, T-H-O-R-A-X, where we get our term, thorax. Used 4 times. This is a breastplate or chest armor of faith. We have our noun for faith here, pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S. And it's without the definite article. The only time this epistle, this noun, is used without the definite article. Breastplate of faith and love. Connective chi. Then our noun for love, emphasizing here divine love, application of doctrine, agape, A-G-A-P-E. And then finally for our third or second piece of equipment, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Again, connected chi, then our noun for helmet here, accused, defendant, and singer of peri kephalai, P-E-R-I, around, K-E-P-H, A-L-A-I-A, around the head, protector. So a helmet. As a helmet, the hope, you have the noun for hope here in the predicate position. Elpis, E-L-P-I-S, as both the helmet and elpis are both accusative cases. So they're this is a predicate accusative that further defines the helmet. The helmet is hope of salvation or deliverance, the primary term of meaning of the noun soteria, S-O-T-E-R-I-A. It's an objective genitive. Receives action. So rereading here verses 7 and 8. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of day, without the definite article, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. All right, the analysis now, verses 7 and 8. One, having exhorted positive volition to stay the course. Verse 6, to stay that way. Paul now explains how, in essence. Verses 7 through 8. 2, the explanation. comes by way of first observing the habit of negative volition, operating in the darkness of the devil's world in verse 7. Our first verse. 3 then falls in contrast to the virtues available and to be employed for positive volition to avoid darkness in their own lives in verse 8. And hence how to stay positive and oriented. So 4, the observation looks first to normal circumstances of people sleeping and getting drunk. For those who sleep, either sleep in the night, and those who get drunk at night. 5, one normally sleeps during the hours of darkness in a normal world. And also that drunkenness tends to be associated with the nighttime. Get off work, and most people are off work, not working tonight, and that's when they take opportunity to party. We know that daytime intoxication is regarded as even more reprehensible than at night in regard to Scripture. Those who want to party hardy all day long, Isaiah 5:11. By normal society, that's looked down upon even worse. Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may pursue strong drink. Who stay up late in the evening that wine may inflame them. Those who can't operate without a bottle in their hand one way or the other. Acts 2:15, they are under woe, which is strong rebuke and expectation of judgment. In the situation here in Acts 2:15, as the temporary gift kicked in the day of Pentecost, and there were those speaking in tongues, and people were taking issue with them, looking at them like they were drunk. Peter, taking his stand with 11, verse 14, raised his voice and declared to men of Judah and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give heed to my words, for these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. See, in normal circumstances, they say, 9 o'clock in the morning, no, they're not going to be drunk. Too early. So that gives you an insight in regards to society's attitude in regards to drinking. In 2 Peter 2:13, that places the false teachers, false prophets, people of this ilk, the lascivious types, in this same vein, suffering wrong is the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime, to revel, to party down, to get drunk, things of that nature. Mardi Gras type of mentality, you see. But in the normal world, people usually sleep at night, and those who get drunk wait till evening to do it. So 6, now the words used here for sleep or and sleeping, both of those verbs, it's the same word, kathudo. And then our verbs for drunk, being drunk, which is methusko, and getting drunk is methuo. Same cognate, same family of words, are used in their literal sense as a basis for the metaphorical or spiritual application in verse 6, being alert and sober. So obviously, as a metaphor, that means there is a literal aspect of it which you draw upon the spiritual principle. So it's presented in that vein, but it still has spiritual teaching behind it, as we brought out in regards to the earlier verse, that the sleeping is spiritual also seven. Now, the two cognate verbs for drunk, being drunk and getting drunk, emphasize the inebriated result from the influence of overdrinking, respectively, in the order that's presented in the verse. Being drunk is a result of getting drunk. The action of getting drunk occurs before being drunk. All those good things. Eight, the sleep or sleeping within the metaphor points to those that, due to their negative volition, are unconscious with respect to the impending day. So to begin with, addressing those who are asleep or sleeping, it looks to those who basically, because they are negative, are out of touch with that which is going to occur. When you are asleep, you're out of touch with reality. You're off in your own dream world. That's point nine, and implies that they are out of touch with reality, living in an otherwise dream world. Negative volition. Bible doctrine is reality. It's reality in all that it presents. It's reality and explains reality with respect to the entirety of our creation. That our creation was created by a supreme being in all the aspects of it. The issues and matters of salvation. Study of man under the doctrine of anthropology and how man is made up in regards to his sin nature and the spiritual realities that are involved in regards to humanity. All these things, that's reality. Human viewpoint and that which Satan promotes and the world pursues under negative volition is simply, in essence, trying to get people out of touch with reality. And the sleeping aspect of the metaphor of not being alert points to that fact. However active they may be otherwise in life, how intelligent they may be, how educated they may be, spiritually speaking, they're out of touch with reality. They're living in a dream world. A world that is passing away. A world that one day is no longer going to exist. It's going to be replaced with a new, perfect world. And the fact is that all of mankind will continue to exist after death in the state of their souls, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever. And they all of us, have an eternal destiny. This life is temporary. It is not over, even though physically it may look like it's over. Your consciousness will continue to survive. Your awareness will continue to survive. Your identity will continue to survive. And it will continue to go on into all eternity. God created us in this way. That's why our soul is so precious. Because whatever they do to the body, they can't touch it. Man can't. And people that are negative, they're out of touch with these realities. All they can see is what's in front of them now, or what they think they can accomplish in time. And make it work, you know, in regards to their own agendas. They don't look beyond the physical to the spiritual realities of life truly and in depth. So those sleeping are out of touch with reality, living in an otherwise dream world. It's a fantasy think that you can accomplish great things in life apart from being oriented to God's plan, and this is going to bring you eternal success or something that will endure forever. And you hear that those comments. So these things will endure forever. Right. Now they're temporary. They'll fall by the wayside along with everything else. And again, when we exit this world out of our physical bodies, the only thing we take with us is our soul. And if we have it, our human spirit. If you don't, you get to the train station, where's your luggage? I don't have it. Oh, you get on this train. Metaphorically speaking. 10, they have chosen to close their minds as to what the light of day would otherwise expose. Wake up in the middle of the night, hear a noise outside, you look out there, you can't see nothing. But once the sun comes out, you know, ah, there's nothing. Tree fell over, trash can fell over, whatever that may be. We understand that. So it is in regards to the spiritual world, in regards to the Bible doctrine, and the realities going on around people, all the things that are happening to them, being essentially spiritual wake-up calls for those who are negative otherwise. God doing what He's doing in order to try to appeal to any positive volition they may have. That the world, no, they'll just write it off as bad luck. Karma. That's just the way it happens. That's life. All these other things. Oh, we may use some of those phrases, but we put it in a doctrinal perspective. Yeah, there's testing in life. That is life. But we understand God's hand's in it. People reject that otherwise. They mock. They laugh at us because we say God's hand's in it. He's behind this. Oh, what kind of God do you serve? I want to kick your butt, I guarantee you. And He will, if you don't get your spiritual act together, metaphorically speaking. Better be careful, I'll have fun with this. 11, so 10 again, they have chosen to close their minds as to what the light of day would otherwise expose. 11, this marquees their rejection of the light of Christ and truth of Bible doctrine. As an unbeliever and believer. As verse 5a compared to 5b, 6a brought out. You're all sons of light, sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do. So those who are sleeping, marquees, their rejection of the light. And the rejection of God's plan as evidence in time, in application. Today, the reference to the time of the believer that he has to apply the doctrine. So 12, now the metaphorical emphasis of being and getting drunk looks to the pursuits of negative volition as alternatives to Bible doctrine. So sleeping, if you will, emphasizes simply that you really don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to face this. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. I don't want to face this. Drunk now, on the other hand, it emphasizes what they will do as an alternative regards to what they do reject. So the metaphorical emphasis of being and getting drunk looks at the pursuits of negative volition as alternatives to Bible doctrine. 13, this includes human viewpoint, ideology, and religiosity, such as New Agers, the One Worlders, Dominion Theologues, Dominion theology are those types who think that it's up to us to make the world right, and then Christ will return. Hence, why you have crazy believers, placing themselves in the political arenas, and think they're going to change the world. You know, things of that nature. It all comes from their ideologies, false ideologies, fundiism. As if we need to dissect that as examples. New Age philosophy, Everybody thinks the Beatles are great. They're the ones that basically opened that up for our society, bringing the thoughts of their philosophies through their music into our society. They were big into that stuff, if you didn't know that. A lot of their songs were very evil in principle. One Worlders, the New World Order, the eradication of definite national boundaries in regards to operation of nations, constantly trying to run other people's lives. Our country is guilty of meddling. We're one of the biggest meddler nations there is. And we know what God thinks about meddlers. Alright. Father, again, we thank you for the truth in your word. We ask God, Holy Spirit, continue to light us in these sins. In Jesus' name, amen.